This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What you're saying is the Scofield Bible, its theology is deceptive.
Just like Muslims have become the boogeyman for a lot of Americans.
It got into the movies.
Jihad!
What's happening in Gaza?
And then it got into the churches.
The one guy that you say, we're going to pull him over for speeding.
And the churches were told, beware the Muslims.
I sat down with Alex Jones and he asked me, well, what do you think is going on? And I told him, I'm not talking about real practicing Jews. None of these people that we're talking about.
Sure, you got the Nutricardi and the Orthodox Jews don't like it either.
I didn't have any fear of Muslims, and I didn't look at.
We believe that he called people to worship God.
Like it would seem that Christians and Muslims are a whole lot more aligned.
Your Quran, say of the birth of our dear Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful.
This is the Dean Show. Greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. My next guest, former rapper, bounty hunter, and now a political commentator. He's been a very active, strong voice on what's happening in Palestine. I'm going to go get into this clip with Tucker Carlson, get his reaction to it, and let's get ready to bring out no other than Mr. Stu, who, by the way, is a Christian whose humanity, as you see, is on and who's been trying to wake up other Christians who say they love Jesus but are completely silent, and some are actually supporting the modern-day G-fill-in-the-blank genocide that's happening right now in 4K. So let's go ahead and watch this clip, and then we'll bring out our guest.
What you're saying is the Scofield Bible, its theology is deceptive.
A very wealthy, very charismatic preacher named John Darby came with this doctrine that's now referred to as the secret rapture or the pre-tribulation rapture. And guess who he was connected to, by the way? The Rothschilds.
Interesting.
Have you ever heard of a Scofield Bible?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So C.I. Scofield was basically a student of John Darby, and he adopted that part of the doctrine, and he incorporated that into the Bible. It was the first Bible ever made that had study notes with it. It became so popular, every Christian was reading it, every minister was reading it, including me, including my own father, for a long time. That's what we believe too. But when you start actually going back and reading line by line by line what is said that will be leading up to Jesus coming back, which is when the rapture happens, it's the inverse of what John Darby put down.
My sense was the Scofield stuff, which has had massive implications for our foreign policy, for example, and in our domestic politics, was probably a lie.
Mrs. Stu, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. Very blessed. Thank you. It's Rich coming from John Rich, actually. He removed me, blocked me, unfollowed me after I was critical of Donald Trump. I was critical of Donald Trump for a lot of reasons. Obviously, we have our differences, but one of those reasons was because of who he is surrounding himself with. So it's interesting to see him talking to Tucker Carlson in that way. And it's also interesting to watch Tucker kind of act like, oh, yeah, well, I've heard of this, but I don't know exactly what this is. And that's a real big concern of mine, which is what has put me in this real dissident kind of devil dog, bad boy, untouchable, nuclear personality that's, you know, I mean, I'm banned from a lot of platforms and I'm really kind of shunned. Actually, Tucker removed me from an event in Salt Lake City, Utah that he was doing with Glenn Beck when I wanted to approach him just to ask him if he'd like to be in the upcoming film. So it's interesting to listen to people kind of scratch the surface of these things, but are unwilling to really go all the way there and talk about certain atrocities that are taking place and what we view as an occupation.
Yeah, I don't know much about you. I was looking into, I saw some people shared some clips, and I was like, wow, this is a very brave man. He's speaking out on what's, you know, anybody with whose humanity is on, who's creating awareness. And then I watched this little, some of your work, and I thought this would be a great, I've been trying to connect with different Christians to have a discussion, to talk, and to break through some of those barriers that I think they've been systematically set up to fear each other, you know, or to have this fear against the other we've been portrayed. And I thought this was a good place to start off with this clip, because I think this is kind of from my research and talking to another Christian pastor. I asked him why, when Christians, many Christians talk about Jesus, Prince of Peace, love your neighbor, all this love. And where is this coming from now that they're silent on what's happening here? And then he pointed me to this. He pointed me to the propaganda and the Scofield Bible. And
saying that Scofield was a Muslim, and basically he tried to turn this around, and he said, I know where they're getting that from. They're getting that from the post-trib crowd is where they're getting that from. And listen, to call Scofield, and listen, I don't think there's any preacher in here that's ever called Scofield a Muslim, but you know what? If they did, that's being nice to Scofield. Because I think Muslims can still be saved, but Scofield was an uncircumcised devil. He was a reprobate. He was unsaved, and he is burning in hell, and it is Scofieldism that is the basis for their doctrine. It's amazing. He said this in his little video that he put out there trying to mock us, and he said, now, I've never read the Scofield notes. I have a Scofield Bible, but I've never read it. Now, here's the amazing thing about that. You supposedly believe in dispensationalism. You believe the doctrines that C.I. Scofield taught, yet you've never read his notes? I mean, come on, does not the Bible tell us to prove all things?
There's a whole new world opened up. So I saw that many Christians believe this is their part of their creed. They've been programmed. And I thought this is a good place because now we have to get the truth out. And you've been actually talking about this also.
This Bible was then spread all throughout America through the Moody Bible Institute, and it became the foundation for the current day evangelical theology. Nobody was aware that this Bible was directly funded by Satanists and that it served the agenda to get Christianity on their side for establishing a new Israel that would become the headquarters of their one world government. And again, I know that all this sounds outrageous to many people who have never heard this before, but you can research this. And I encourage you to do your due diligence. I've studied this for decades, and I know what I'm talking about, but it's very difficult sometimes when you talk to people who are not informed, who have simply accepted a certain mindset, who have blindly believed that, and who repeat it to everybody else without ever doing their research.
Yeah. I think it's really important because when you look at the largest swath of the American, we'll just call it electorate or population, you're looking at Christians. I mean, this is a Christian country. It was founded by Christians. It was founded on biblical values, being morally upright, being spiritually connected, being followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so when you're going to target a group of people, if you have your sights set on some sense of normalcy, if you need to destroy something completely, you have to go to the core of that largest group of people. And so this has been a centuries-long, at least minimum decades-long operation to also occupy the church. And so you have these non-denominational Protestant evangelical faith leaders, pastors, that are preaching this from the pulpit. And they're saying, you know, the turn the other cheek, the lukewarm kind of love your neighbor, peaceful message, but they omit the fact that Jesus Christ braided his own whips and went into that temple and flipped those tables and chased those money
scribes
changers
and Pharisees, out, yeah.
Who he referred to as the synagogue of Satan. And so I think that it's really important to really address what that means. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's not coming back to bring unity and to make sure that everybody sits down and kumbaya. No, he's coming back specifically for division. He's coming back to promise eternal life to those who follow him. And to touch on your earlier point, he told us, Jesus Christ told us, that if we should follow him, we will be of the most persecuted on the planet, the most persecuted in all of the world, that we will be killed, that we will be martyred, that we will be chased down, that we will be imprisoned, that we will be tortured, that we will be beaten. He told us all of these things, but he told us to be steadfast in our faith and to continue to follow him. He commanded that, to pick up the sword and fight. And so that's what we're doing. And this comes with a lot of truth. And I mean, the gospel and the word of Jesus Christ is really the only thing that I fully trust today. I don't trust anybody. I have a hard time trusting myself with decisions on some days. You know, you try to be more Jesus-like every day, but this comes with a whole lot of sacrifice. I mean, when you go all the way in and start talking about things like this, not only does this affect your professional career, I would never, I would never, if the Stu Peters network completely went bankrupt and tanked and it was attacked or it was seized or it was dismantled and I could not do this anymore, or I was in prison, whatever. When I got out of prison or when I walked out of this building in these studios and I said, let me go back into the workforce, it's not happening. Once you cross a certain line, you're canceled society-wide. You're canceled from social groups. You're canceled sometimes in your own family. You lose relationships with people who had previously considered themselves friends. You're ostracized in your church. You're ostracized and cast from certain political affiliations and groups. And then you make yourself outside of any class of people, and you put yourself really on an island. And I'm not saying that I'm the first person that's ever noticed this. I'm not saying that I'm the first person that's ever talked about this. But what I'm saying is that when you have a platform and a reach of the size that we do here at this network, and you're not going to mince words and you go all the way in, that comes with an understanding that, yeah, I'm never going to return to normal ever again. I'm never going to go work a 9-to-5. I'm never going to be able to provide for my family by working in corporate America or for the man, as they say. And also, to go beyond that, it comes with a very real threat of imminent great bodily harm or death. I mean, I had some guy offering $2 million online to bring him my head severed from my body, or $1 million to be seriously injured. And it was a real threat. Elon Musk tweeted back at me. He said, same rules for everyone. And I believe that that account has been suspended. And I don't know how real that is. And I don't know.
So that got, Elon Musk's attention right there, that he knew that was referring to you, this tweet, and that got his attention.
Wow. Yeah, it got his attention, and he tweeted back at us because I said, hey, is this guy going to face any repercussions, or are the rules different for a certain class of people? And he said, same rules for everyone. I went and checked the account, and the account was gone. So, I mean, there's a lot that you put on the line. And I'm not saying this to say pat on the back. I'm not whining. I'm not complaining, kvetching about any of this. I'm just saying that it's important that people realize that there are leaders, there are men that are willing to stick their neck out there. And what I ask for in return is let the bravery and the courage and the will to speak the truth be contagious. Please join and pick up the sword and fight. I've had people say, well, I would love to be in a foxhole with you, Stu Peters. No. A foxhole, that would imply that we're like hiding in the ground somewhere. No. We are on the offensive, storming the gates of hell, and I need fellow Jesus-believing Christians to be there with me. I can't do this alone. And there's an army of people out there that are waiting for a leader who's willing to throw it all on the table and be courageous and bold and not give a damn about the criticism that comes along with it, or some of the names or the identifications that come along with it. The hit pieces by the USA Today and the Rolling Stone and New York Times and Media Matters and Daily Beast and Right Wing Watch and all of the usual suspects that come together, and their expressed intent is to make sure that advertisers are dissuaded or discouraged from helping to fund this network. And in a lot of cases, it's very successful. In some cases, we parted ways with certain advertisers because they don't align with my values and my faith and my spiritual convictions. So I'm like, well, we just have to discontinue this relationship. And yeah, that comes to a great financial loss and detriment, but you have to have real faith. And having that real faith in God and in Jesus Christ also translates to having real faith in those who speak. I'll support you. I'll step up. We will donate. We'll pay for this film. We'll subscribe to your network. You know, we'll do whatever it takes, because we have to be on an even playing field and understand these people are not going to continue to fund this because they're going to buckle to the pressure. They don't want to attach their brand or their name to somebody who's labeled as, you know, a bigot or a racist or anti-Semitic or all of these things. So it's a very real thing. This isn't a video game. This isn't, you know, some internet anonymous account that I'm broadcasting from. This is the real me. I show my face every day, have for the last 4 years, Monday through Friday, 7 documentary films. Just released the 8th film, and it comes with a very certain risk that I'm willing to take because I am in pursuit of the truth, and this platform has always been about saving lives.
Let me just touch upon the Schofield Bible.
The Schofield Study Bible basically calls for the support of Israel in the Middle East, and it is a document that actually seeks to and calls for war. Cyrus Schofield was basically a criminal. And Cyrus Schofield went on from there to follow a life of what virtually was crime. Schofield was eventually caught, convicted, and sent to the state prison. Upon being released, Schofield took up a new profession, preaching the gospel. He wrote what turned out to be the Schofield Reference Bible that was published in 1908.
What I understood from my research and talking to some Christians is that you had this person, and I just really think this is so important, this Schofield, he was a con man. He went to jail, and then he ended up, there was a John Nelson Darby who now he was taking the teachings from this John Nelson Darby.
A Darbyism, which in effect called for a Armageddon, the same Armageddon. The Armageddon where there would be a terrible war in Israel. And he became a follower of John Nelson Darby, and he essentially plagiarized, I suppose, or borrowed much of what Darby had said, and this was what went into the footnotes of the study Bible that became known as the Schofield Study Bible.
And then from there, he ended up getting funded, and then he got this funding, and he ended up getting a DD. They got the UK printing press to print out like 1 million of these Schofield reference Bibles. And
Oxford Press would not touch a Bible. It would not touch a religious book. But it did publish Cyrus Schofield's reference Bible off of his yellow notepads. Now, it should be most clear to most people that somehow Schofield had to have an introduction. He could not have simply found his way into Oxford Press, nor could he have found his way through this.
In the exegesis, you have certain verses. You'll hear politicians and many, they'll say, whoever blesses thee is blessed, whoever curses thee is cursed. So they would connect these to the state, Israel. And this is where the programming happened in colleges, universities, and that. And now, is it true that many Christians, peace-loving Christians, they feel it's a part of their creed now to support this, what's happening? But now you have another group of Christians like yourself and others that are they're saying, hold on, this is false. This is actually not true.
Recent 1948.
Okay.
May 14th, 1948.
Is this correct now? And then this is what Tucker was talking about with this guest here. Are people looking into this dispensationalism and all
that? I mean,
it's not really part of the teachings, the core teachings of Christianity.
Yeah, for sure. There's a huge shift in the Overton window. There's no question about that. There's a lot of conversation that's happening online that would not have happened prior to October 7th. Okay. And I will just say that, you know, I mean, look, I went down to Austin, Texas. I sat down with Alex Jones and he asked me, well, what do you think is going on? And I told him,
what's happening in Gaza, one of the most densely populated areas where 50% of the population is under the age of 15, 75% is under the age of 25. And you have members of Congress demanding that we go blow up apartment buildings and nuke these people off the face of the planet. What is the benchmark for success in Gaza?
Here's what I think is happening. And he got very visibly upset. He didn't want to talk about it. I don't know if that's because he made a deal. I don't know if he has certain sponsors that he doesn't want to lose. I don't know.
Alex Jones. Yeah.
And he was very, very upset. And I said, well, look, I mean, I'm just here to tell you the truth. You asked me a question. I'm here to give. And I look back at that interview today, and there's been a lot of learning that has happened for me since that day. I said a lot of things there that I would say even more as a matter of fact today than I did then, because I had a certain understanding of this. It's like when you see it, you can't unsee it, and I'm seeing new things every day. And so I can't rewind what I knew, you know, when I went there.
Yeah.
But I would be a lot more adamant and a lot more clear and a lot more specific about where all this is coming from had I known what I know now then. As a matter of fact, if you look back 4 years and you just take a history of my monologues, you can watch being on this program, talking to experts and researchers and doctors and through COVID, right? I basically became a de facto pseudo doctor, and so did my whole audience. You can watch the real-time learning and red-pilling and educational process happening with me. And then I'm just relaying that to the audience, and I'm showing them and I'm encouraging them, do your own research. Don't believe everything I say. Now, as far as it relates to this, you know, whole idea of the Schofield Bible and this nation state, of Israel. And, you know, if you bless these, these shall be blessed and cursed and et cetera. That is part of what I was talking about originally, which is identifying a large group of people. Obviously, the Muslim faith is the largest, and then Christians. 2.4, I think, billion worldwide would say that they identify as a Christian. So that's a very large swath of people. And so the way to attack them is through this psychological deprogramming and reprogramming and this operation where you compare something biblical, a word in the Bible, to something that you then form in real life. A arbitrary set of borders plopped in the Middle East on May 14th, 1948, with the declaration, this is what we're going to call this. Well, who then can question it or, God forbid, criticize it? Because now you have the Scofield Bible indoctrinating teachers, these pastors from the pulpit, shaming you and telling you, no, you can't talk like that about this land, about this place, or about these people, because they are chosen, and this is the place of the Bible that God and Jesus were talking about. When in fact, it just absolutely cannot be. It just doesn't even make sense. But the lack of cognitive, independent, critical thinking is then replaced by social norms and acceptance, particularly as it comes to something that someone feels may impact their connection to Jesus Christ or their shot at eternal life in heaven. Nobody wants to risk sacrificing that. You know, the more I read the Bible, the more I know I don't want to go to hell. And so I can empathize with a lot of people feeling like that. But this is the same group largely. I would say that it is, you know, people my age and younger who are really shifting the Overton window, really having the conversation, really want to know the truth, and really are digging and researching on their own and learning these things and then having the conversation, exposing a lot of things. But I think that the people who have their ears plugged and their eyes closed and they don't want to hear this are the same group of people, and there's going to be a lot of people that are upset in the audience about this, that have led us into this situation by apathy and complacency, and that's the boomer class, the boomer generation. Boomers largely don't want to hear this. They don't want to offend people. They don't want to step on somebody's toes. They don't want to go astray from whatever their pastor is teaching them. They don't want to have these conversations with their neighbors. Even though they may question this in their own home, they're never going to go in public. And as a matter of fact, if you're with your boomer mom or your fat Uncle Stan or Aunt Betty, and you're in public and you have one of these conversations, you'll get, don't talk like that. And that is a win for an enemy that wants to suppress your speech and to control your mind and to control your actions under the threat of being placed in a digital or virtual or financial or even physical prison camp, because it's happening already. CBDCs are coming, digital ID is coming, social credit score, it's all here already. All of the infrastructure is in place, the blockchain, it's all there. If you say something that is socially unacceptable, and by socially unacceptable, I mean if it goes against the official Orthodox narrative by the people who have put the narrative in place that want to place you in these prisons and control the masses, and they admit, they all admit this. Don't believe me. You can go and look at Bill Gates. You can look at some of these TED Talks. You can listen to, you know, Yuval Noah Harari. You can listen to what Klaus Schwab is saying and some of these people at the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization. And even a lot of these so-called actors in Hollywood will tell you, this is the goal. This is what we want to do. Whatever you want to call it, whether it's Agenda 2030 or New World Order, read the book Behold the Pale Horse, The Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, whatever you want to call it, give it whatever fancy name you want. What it means is when they tell you you'll live in a pod, you'll eat bugs, you'll own nothing, and you'll be happy, why don't we just believe them? And then they use this method of control to imprison mentally the largest group of people, which is Christians, largely. As I said, I preface that by saying, obviously, Islam has a whole lot more subscribers to that faith as far as actual bodies and people are concerned. But I think that there's a lot to be said for control of the West, you know, and this is an occupation that isn't just in our government here in the United States. It's not just NGOs and unelected bureaucrats. It's not just the Department of Education. It's not really even just our society. It is the entire West where this octopus has reached its tentacles out and gripped what I refer to as a demonic grip around Christendom and around the West and around humanity as a whole.
Recently, you had the one of the highest courts, I believe, is the ICC, and it put out a warrant for the head of state in this country that's committing this modern day Holocaust genocide. I want to get your reaction to this clip where you have the PBD discussing this, the very well known podcast with Patrick and David, and get your feedback on this.
Yeah. So one guy that you say we're going to pull him over for speeding because, you know, he's done some things and these are war crimes. Some civilians have died. These are war crimes. The one guy the ICC wants to pull over is Netanyahu. Shouldn't there be a long list of other people from Iran and Syria and some other locations? Really? The one guy you want to pull over? And then the UK says, we'll back it up. But you got to remember who's speaking and who the UK is.
Your response, what do you think?
Well, I don't know what he means by you have to remember who the UK is. I'm assuming that he means that there have been a lot of Muslims that have migrated to London. Mm-hmm. You know, what I would say is this. There's this narrative that this nation state was somehow against their will forced into this, which when you look at the facts is just completely contrary to what the truth is. And this war is a proxy war. I'm trying to be as careful as I can here because I know that you have a YouTube audience and I know what happened to me on that channel and on that platform.
Thank you.
I'm trying to be as careful as I can here. And but I will just say this, is that the official Orthodox narrative about what happened on October 7th can be debunked very easily. And a lot of it has been. And there have been a lot of videos that prove that the message of this nation state is contrary to the truth. It can also be proven that there are war crimes that have taken place, and it can be proven because the state actually posts these war crimes and activities on their official government channels on X. And we are watching that effect be to the detriment sometimes of the lives of young children and innocent people and women who don't have anything to do with this so-called terrorist organization that, by the way, they funded and created. Okay, so a lot of people don't know that. And, you know, this terror network was created by this nation state, much similar to ISIS, which was, you know, a creation of the U.S. military intel apparatus and funded by the taxpayer. And so my reaction to this is it's incredible to watch people tiptoe around this leader and this nation state. If this were any other faith, if this were any other country, if this were any other leader anywhere that was carrying this activity out, they would already be, if we lived in a serious world, they would already be before a court. They would already be in custody. They would already be facing, upon conviction, extreme accountability. And so it's really amazing to watch as people like Patrick Bet-David with platforms of that size just come completely occupied and overtaken and, you know, it's been compromised. He has been compromised.
Here's some of the, if you look at some of the comments, it's very interesting here. You go and see these guys, sometimes they're right and reasonable. And sometimes they're just clowns. Another one, this episode is full of BS by PBD. And I personally know Patrick. I visited there. He seemed, he was a very nice man, and we had a great time together. But I relate to some of these comments because he's got a lot of good things that he talks about. When it comes down to this, it seems like these comments are right on. If you just look at some of these.
Yeah. That's I would say that a lot of that is very accurate. There's another very accurate comment. Yes. I mean, look at this. I mean, you have to give a lot of credit to the viewers who are picking up on this and they're seeing this. I mean, it's right out in front of your eyes. So anybody who denies this and puts the scales over their eyes or allows them to remain is really doing themselves a disservice because they're not being honest with themselves. They're not being honest with the people around them. And if you're not being honest and you know what the truth is, well, that's a lie and that's a sin. Mm-hmm. And so you're really not following biblical principles and you are not honoring your relationship with Jesus Christ or the commandments set forth by God. And that's a really dangerous place to be, especially from these faith leaders who stand behind pulpits every Sunday or in some other denominations, other days of the week, but stand before a flock of people who they are knowingly leading to the lake of fire. And the judgment for those people is going to be so much more significant than that of the members of the flock that they are misleading to their detriment and to their own graves eternally.
I want to get your reaction to this. Is a pastor, Rick. He's a senior pastor, and he's very outspoken also on this. And I asked him a question regarding this hate of Muslims and Islam, and this is what he had to say.
Say, until September 11, 2001, I had never had a negative thought about Muslims or Arabs, and I also didn't have any negative thoughts about Jews. I grew up in a small rural community. I'm 70 years old, so this is back, you know, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and to this day, I can remember all of the Jewish businessmen in my community. I know the retailers, the doctor, everybody, the jeweler, and we were all friends. When 9/11 came, the American news media was weaponized, and it came at us from every direction that Muslims had invaded America and they were going to kill us. And the American people were very afraid. We were afraid if we met a Muslim on the street, they might pull out a knife and try to chop off our head. And this came at us from every direction. The American people had never had these thoughts ever. I don't recall ever having these kind of thoughts. But after 9/11, it was you could tell there was the propaganda had already been formulated, had been designed, and it was simply being implemented. And it came from every direction: television, the news, it got into the movies and the Hollywood movies, and then it got into the churches. And the churches were told, beware the Muslims. They're coming to America to kill the Christians. I'm sad to tell you, I'm embarrassed to tell you that for a couple years I believed it, because I didn't know what was happening to my country. It took me a couple years to figure out the game plan. And to figure out that we had been told a lie, and there was a massive propaganda campaign underway, and that what happened on 9/11 was not the official narrative, was not true. And it was shocking to me. It was shocking that I had to process a lot of stuff about what was happening in my country, and my mind had to process that I had been fed disinformation, lies, propaganda. Somebody was trying to make me and everybody else in my country believe something about other people that wasn't true. Mm-hmm. And then I figured it out. And then after I figured it out, they came after me.
Mm.
Okay.
Wow.
And it wasn't the Muslims. It wasn't the Muslims who were coming after me.
I get it. Yeah.
I know Pastor Rick Wiles.
You do.
Yeah, I've got a lot of respect for him.
Yes.
I've sat down with Rick Wiles on multiple occasions, and I've been in his studio, and I've sat down at his home with him and discussed all of this with him.
Mm.
Again, a lot of respect for him. And I think the thing that I have the most respect for is that he says, you know what, he's very, very, open about it and very honest and in a very, vulnerable and humble way. He says, look, I fell victim to this as well. And so did I. And if anybody's saying, yeah, I knew right away who was responsible for 9/11, and I knew right away, and I didn't have any fear of Muslims, and I didn't look at, you know, members of the Islamic faith any differently, they're just not being honest. But the question now is, what do you do about it? Question now is, now that you have this knowledge and now that you know that your own government is willing to perpetrate these psyops and these crimes against you, now what? Now what are you going to do about it? And I think that the remedy is the discussion that we need to start having now. And when films like Occupied, which was really designed to reach the boomer audience, the people who've been programmed. You know, there's another film that's 12 to 14 hours long called Europa, and this thing was given away for free. I mentioned earlier that we had lost sponsors and that I had walked away from sponsorships, and I was willing to do that because I know that a lot of people understand, hey, Stu Peters has been at the forefront. He was the first guy to call it a bioweapon. He was the first guy to talk about the V's. You know, he was with a platform of that size. He's always been willing to go straight at it because I've never really understood the whole idea of restricting speech. I mean, don't we live in freaking America? Like, what is this terms of service nonsense that we have to be conscious about because we're on certain platforms? I mean, it's just complete BS. This is the control structure that's already been implemented, and people just go along with it because they don't want to nuke their account. Well, of course, we don't want to give up our sphere of influence. You don't with the Dean Show. You don't want to lose your channels and your platforms. I don't want to lose, you know, my social media account. And so, of course, you try to speak in code. But that's where we are right now. We're speaking in freaking code because we don't want to offend our overlords. So we are already in digital prison camps. Mm. We're already in social prison camps. Our speech has been completely trampled on. Our voices have been completely taken away from us under the threat of being canceled. And what does canceled mean? It means you don't exist anymore. And so, you know, and he said they came for him. Yeah, they came for Rick Wiles. They came for me. They come for anybody who's willing to talk about these people, who's willing to talk about this nation state, who's willing to talk about these crimes. And it has become sort of this religious sacrament to bow to these people. And I refuse to do it. And I'll never do it. With respect, of course, to your platform, you know, I'm being very, very cautious. And I will do that, of course, because I promise to do that. But I just think that people really need to not believe me and not believe Rick Wiles and not believe people like Patrick Bet-David. You need to go and do your own research. And one of the things that I suggest you do is watch Occupied. Now, I recently made the decision. At first, what I did is I required a membership or a subscription, which is very reasonable. It's $9. Look, I'm walking away from certain arrangements. Look, people are walking away from me. We're a family. We're an army. We have to support one another. Our own ecosystem is very important. We have to do that. That message is very clear. Everybody understands that. Nobody has a problem coming and paying $9 a month or $90 a year or doing one-time donations to help support the work that we do because we show up every day. We give films away. We do all these things. I didn't have billionaires lining up to sponsor Occupied for obvious reasons. I didn't have corporate sponsors lining up to be sponsors and endorse this thing for obvious reasons. Okay, so we had to fund it ourselves. So I made the decision, okay, well, it's going to be required that you are a subscriber in order to see this. So if you're not yet a subscriber, go and subscribe and you'll be able to watch the film. Well, there was a lot of pushback on that, and a lot of it was credible. And a lot of that credible pushback was, look, the film is intended to reach a specific audience. These people aren't going and just signing up for the Stu Peters Network. You know, I mean, they don't even know what a Stu Peters is, a lot of them. They're not going to some weird platform and putting in their credit card information so that they can watch this film that inherently just goes against all of their core beliefs because they have been so programmed. Why would I ever go pay to watch that? I don't want to watch that. I mean, but if you make it free and then say, okay, I'm going to put my faith in God on this one, and I'm going to put my faith in these people who have said, Stu, we will support you. And you go ahead and just say, look, I'm going to release this film. Here's where you can go and support me. I want you to take this to your fat Uncle Stan and to your fat Aunt Betty and to your mom and your dad who have the Scofield Bible indoctrinated pastor and they go to church every Sunday at their non-denominational Protestant evangelical church, and they go and participate in this religious sacrament to bow to these people and close their eyes and ears off to anything else. This is the greatest introduction that's irrefutable, it's indisputable, it's factual, and it's backed by all of the evidence that these people say in their own words, and go and show this film. So I've made the decision that we're going to make the film free, and I'm trusting in God, and I'm trusting in everybody who said, look, we will support you to actually do that. Wow. Because we need, every army needs financing. Every army needs funding. And every army needs resources. And if we deplete our own army of resources and funding, what do you expect is going to happen? Well, you're going to lose the battle. And so I think that there is an understanding, and I think that people largely do really get that. And so we're just going to put our faith in God, and we're going to put our faith in these people, and we've decided that we're going to release the film for free.
Oh, occupied. Beautiful. God bless you. Before we conclude, I wanted to...
which also, by the way, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Which also is available on Blu-ray or DVD. It's available in 31 different languages. It's available in the English censored version. If anybody doesn't like the F word, you know, when Dan Bilzerian is saying the F word, or Ken O'Keefe is dropping F-bombs, and they don't like that, and they'll be hyper-focused on that rather than what the message is, it's also available in an English-censored version. So if you go to our store, which if you don't mind if I plug it, the SPNstore.com, it's right there, or OccupiedStore.com. You can get it on Blu-ray and have a physical copy, which I think is really important, given that the internet obviously has an electronic kill switch. So any support you want to give, if you do want to do that and go buy it and have it on, or any donations, we would really appreciate it. But the film is free, OccupiedFilm.com.
I wanted to talk about Muslim-Christian collaboration. I mean, I see some of myself in growing up. I'm American background, European, Bosnian. And I see you. I went through also, I didn't make it to where you were. I was also, you know, House of Pain and Shaved the Head. I don't know, you remember House of Pain, Everlast? The rapping and, yeah. You know, you have that ambition. You want to be a rapper. Then I find out, I look in a little bit, you actually had a record deal and kind of lived that life. And I was in the entertainment industry, had a part in a nightclub and et cetera, et cetera. And living the dream, as they say, which turned out to be a nightmare. And then you find, you know, purpose. You're looking for purpose in life. And now you start to live what you are confident now is your connection with your creator, trying to be a good human being. This is most Muslims. A Muslim simply means one who has submitted his will to God, if you look at what the definition is. So most Muslims want to be good, good human beings. They want to provide for their family. They pray to God. They give in charity, far away from any of these things that have been associated with Islam. And Muslims wanted to take over. Living Islam, I can't remember once if I've ever been in a conversation where someone's plotting to take over America, plotting, you know, I think non-Muslims use the word jihad more than Muslims do, you know, to scare people.
Jihad!
And the one commonality, it just, there's so many things we have in common. Obviously, we can talk about the elephant in the room. You know, I respect if my friend Stu or my other friend tells me, look, if you don't believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're going to hell fire. We can have the discussion, no problem. But I think we have so many things in common. One of those things is, I'm going to share this clip with you, and I ask this question. This is in the heart of Europe. We call this the Jerusalem of Europe. And notice, I mean, a Muslim can be Italian, Polish, Asian, Arab. Here, that's another stereotype. You think Muslim, you think someone who's from India, Pakistan, but just notice the color of their skin here. And notice the question. And then from here, you're going to hear something about Jesus. And I'm going to get your reaction for it.
Sure.
Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? You love Jesus? You love Jesus? Muslim too, right?
Yeah.
Do you love Jesus? Muslim?
Yes.
Do you love Jesus? You love Jesus, yes or no?
Your Quran, say of the breath of our dear Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Relate in the book the story of Mary, how she withdrew from her family to a place in the East, how we sent to her our angel Gabriel, who said, I am a messenger from your God to announce the birth of a son to you. She said, how shall I, Mary, have a son when no man has touched me? And Gabriel replied, for your Lord says, it will happen, we appoint him as a sign unto man and a mercy from us.
I love Jesus. See? I love because Jesus is my prophet also.
Another
Moses.
Muslim.
Moses is my prophet. Noah. And all prophets is mine. And the end of prophets is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I like him also very much.
See that? This is not something I'm making up. You guys are Muslim?
Yes.
Do you love Jesus?
Of course.
You love Jesus?
Of course.
Yeah?
We have to.
Yeah?
Yes, it's obligatory.
Yeah?
Of course.
So you're Muslim and you love Jesus?
Of course.
Okay, what about you?
Yeah.
See, you're Muslim too?
Yeah.
And you love Jesus?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. This is Messenger of Allah.
Oh, Allahu Akbar. See? Who else?
You love Jesus?
Isa. I love Isa.
You love Jesus?
Yes.
Another Muslim. Love Jesus. Look at all these Muslims. Love Jesus, huh? How can we be the enemies when we love Jesus? Muslim too, right?
Yeah.
Do you love Jesus?
Of course.
Huh?
He's Isa. Isa alayhi salam.
You know what's interesting? If you take Jesus and take the J, what do you have?
Isa.
Isa.
Yeah.
Isus.
Yeah.
You see? We even had his right name.
Your thoughts?
I mean, you know, look, I haven't studied the Quran, and I don't know everything that there is to know about Islam and the Muslim faith. I believe that what is accepted by Muslims is that Jesus was a prophet. Is that right?
Yes. We're confirming, actually, if there's many verses in the Bible where he's called a prophet, many, you can go in, and this is what we confirm. Now, obviously, we don't believe that he's literally, he's God. We believe that he called people to worship God, like in the Lord's Prayer or our Father.
And that's where we differ.
Yeah, so we differ, but you have people in their own houses, Democrat, Republican, they differ on some things, but they're still family. We're the family of humanity. We can respect those differences and go on.
Here's what I can respect. I can respect anybody who stands up against crimes against children.
There you go. But we don't slander him. If you say one, if you say something like as a group say that he's burning in the hellfire, that his mother had an affair with her, this will earn you a seat in the hellfire according to Islam. You see the difference? But now people ally with people who are, that's the ironic thing. It's such a strange relationship. I don't understand.
It is. And there's also, as far as I'm concerned, this isn't about race because this other group of people comes from everywhere. This is about a very dark, spiritual, what I would refer to as demonic grip.
Yeah.
In this group of people. And historically, they have set their sights, as I alluded to early on in this, historically, they have set their sights on any sense of normalcy, and they have perverted it. And they have done everything that they can to destroy it. And that dates back in the days and the years and the months leading up to World War II. And then during that war, and then in the decades since that war. And that could be one of the most lied about times, and some of the leaders during those times could have been some of the most lied about people, demonized people. They have become boogeymen, just like Muslims have become for a lot of Americans, as Rick Wiles was saying. Very lied about people. We saw Jihad Johnny, remember that? Beheading people in the sand. It was all fake. It was all propaganda.
Those were fake Pentagon videos, actually. They spent $500 million. You know about that, right? The Pentagon paid. Pentagon actually paid $500 million to put out these fake videos.
How much money has the U.S. taxpayer funded this media? Which, by the way, the funding comes from these people.
Unbelievable.
100% of it, by the way.
Wow.
Go look into BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street. Tell me where their headquarters are located. I mean, tell me who owns them, right? Tell me who funds them. Why does BlackRock fund Vanguard? Why is Vanguard's BlackRock's biggest investor? All of these things. Who has the most stake in Fox, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, all of the major broadcast networks, all of the cable news networks, Disney, Netflix? Who's got their hands in all of this? Pornhub, okay? So how many billions or trillions, likely, of taxpayer dollars have been used to lie to the people about a certain leader during the 1930s to make them a boogeyman? How about this? How many billions or trillions of dollars were spent to demonize Saddam Hussein? Weapons of mass destruction, babies in incubators.
All based on lies, yeah.
All based on lies. What about Muammar Gaddafi? What about Vladimir Putin? Okay, so if you go all the way back to the 30s and then you fast forward and Saddam Hussein, Muammar Gaddafi, now Vladimir Putin is the world's boogeyman, the most dangerous guy alive. He just woke up one day and decided to go be a war criminal. Totally BS, by the way. Go look into that war in Ukraine. Total BS. It's all lies. They lie about the events of the wars. They lie about the ghost of Kyiv and maternity wards being bombed. They lie about things that you can see right in front of your own face. So if you don't think that they're lying about the events of the war, what about the causes of the war? Well, historically, they've lied to us about the causes of every war. We spent 20 years in Afghanistan chasing down this guy. You know, the people who were fighting in Afghanistan when we, I guess you'd call it, withdrew, which is a weird word to use given what actually occurred there. The people that were there at the end fighting were infants when the towers came down on 9/11. They were infants. They didn't even know what they were fighting for. They were told why they were going there in a fight. We're going to go fight the enemy on their land before they bring the fight to ours. The psychological programming has been happening for decades, long before the 1930s. But we can look at recent history back to the 30s and make some reasonable deductions since then. All of those people, that leader in Germany in the 30s, Saddam Hussein, Muammar Gaddafi, and Vladimir Putin, have all rejected the same group of people.
Wow.
And they all met the same fate. And so, Putin, not yet, but if you think that the American war empire and the military-industrial complex wouldn't love, at minimum, regime change in Russia, you're fooling yourselves. They would love for him to be gone. And, you know, so it's a very obvious trend of perversion and degeneracy and homicide and murder, and it's been happening for a very long time. And I think that the world is starting to wake up to that. There's a certain group of people that we need to really wake up now with the older generations to get the support, because that's what all of the psychological programming is about. How do we gin up the support of the American people to have, let's just talk real time today, a kinetic confrontation with Iran? Well, we would have to convince the masses that there was a Donald Trump plot, you know, to assassinate him or something like that. And it was these people who planned that. Well, spoiler alert, guess what? It turns out that that wasn't the case at all. We know who it was. You go look at news stories about who was arrested in association with concocting that plot. Okay. But in order to do that, I mean, back in the day, you had Toby Keith writing a song, you know, we'll put a boot up your, it's the American way. So you've convinced people that the American way is to go and put your missiles everywhere and to spread your ideologies everywhere and to go drop bombs everywhere. That's how we show our power. So the way to gin up the hype for all of this, of course, is to make a boogeyman. And believe me, there are people who sit in very high places who would love nothing more than for a kinetic confrontation between the United States military and Iran. And if they can make a scapegoat or a martyr out of a certain nation state that's plopped in the middle of the Middle East as of 1948, they can gin up the support of all of the Christians worldwide who have been indoctrinated by their fake pastors into doing that. And then guess what? You think China won't get involved? You think that Putin and Russia won't get involved? They have to. And who could blame them? We have to look inward. If you're looking for an enemy, look at the occupation. And that occupation is in a so-called federal government that I believe has turned into a private corporate government crime syndicate. And the military-industrial complex front lines are in that 1948 founded nation state. They've got to have this war. I'll say this before we go. If you want to make really good money, go sell some illicit street drugs on the corner. If you want to make a little bit better money, get involved with Big Pharma and start legally producing poisons and distributing them to billions of people. But if you really, really want to talk about where the big money is, sell the financial contracts and munitions that are required for war. Now you're talking big money. And that's what's happening here. They have to have these confrontations. They have to have these wars, despite the fact that if you polled everybody in the world, I would venture to guess, I would bet my network that over 95% would say, we don't want war with anyone. We are a peaceful people. We don't want war. We don't support war. We are vehemently, emphatically against all of your wars, these forever wars, these regime changes, this nation rebuilding, the spreading of democracy, which turns out to be some pretty deadly and dangerous stuff. Mm. It's all fake. And now we need to start talking about remedy. Mm-hmm. The Constitution in the United States of America, which I can speak to in an educated way, says that if a government becomes oppressive to your God-given, inherent, inalienable rights, that you should abolish and tear down that form of government and replace it with a government that's representative of the people, and you would be derelict in your duties as an American if you did not do so. We need to start talking about remedy.
And when I spoke to a guest of mine, is a Christian lady from Allison Weir from If Americans Only Knew, and then we got a little bit deeper on this and it went back to this propaganda and this systematic attack now to divide Christians and Muslims. She said this was actually done by the people, the Zionists, who, and she lists on her website, I don't know if you've heard of ifamericansonlyknew.org, and she lists all of the different organizations to go ahead who've been responsible for this false information put out there to have Christians and Muslims divided, because united they're much stronger. So the reason I bring out these points, which I, this is this clip that I showed you, this was from a movie with Anthony Quinn called The Message, and this is a historical event.
When we suffered persecution in Mecca, Muhammad told us, go to Abyssinia, the land of a righteous king where no man is wrong.
He was the Christian ruler, the king, and the Muslims were being persecuted, so they were sent, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sent the Muslims to this Christian kingdom here. And it was a just king because of that, he sent them there. And then he called them into the court. And then the pagan Arabs had come to try to take them back. And then he had a court, an open court. And then he asked them, what do you guys say about Jesus? And then this was a verse that he had translated in English, which he had recited.
Relate in the book the story of Mary, how she withdrew from her family to a place in the east, how we sent to her our angel Gabriel, who said, I am a messenger from your God to announce the birth of a son to you. She said, how shall I, Mary, have a son when no man has touched me? And Gabriel replied, for your Lord says, it will happen. We appoint him as a sign unto man and a mercy from.
So I think this is very powerful when you see the love and reverence that Muslims have for Jesus. I think this is a great starting point. There's even a chapter in the Quran named after his blessed mother, Maryam. We have obviously something that we disagree on, but we have a lot more in common that we do agree upon. And I think united to tackle many of these social ills and many of the things you're talking about, we're stronger in this essence. And again, we don't have to get together and sing kumbaya and compromise our religious beliefs. But if we work together, we're stronger to tackle many of these social ills that are destroying society, our family, and our country.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is just a war of good versus evil. And I think everybody here has been able to identify a common enemy. And, you know, that's a good starting point, I think. And you're right. I mean, I'll never compromise in my faith, and I would never ask you to do that either. But I do know a very obvious enemy when I look at it, and that enemy isn't just coming for me, and it's not just coming for you, it's coming for us. And so, of course, there needs to be an alliance. There needs to be a good versus evil. You have to pick a side. Which side are you going to be on? And from what I see right now, it would seem that Christians and Muslims are a whole lot more aligned in this particular war than in any other previous. And I'm glad to see the Overton window getting smashed in that way. StuPeters.com. We've got it all figured out. We just go to StuPeters.com. There's buttons right at the top. Grab it, share it everywhere. And please buy it on DVD or on Blu-ray as well. That's a great way to support us. Go to OccupiedStore.com for that.
I think you're about to become famous in the Muslim world. Well, people are going to be contacting you, and you got some new friends. And hopefully we can meet in person someday. Thank you.
I would love that. God bless you.
God bless you.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.